on and keep going and doing for you like they do. And he said, it's because leaders, everybody in here is a leader. You lead somebody whether you know it or not. Leaders are dealers in hope. And if a leader does not deal in hope, then his people are going to be sad and they're going to seem hopeless. So leaders are dealers in hope. Always remember that. Always try to keep that in your mind. So I'll give you these out here. I'm going to also do a few more scriptures along with this, but I want you to see this. This is some powerful, powerful stuff. Again, we could go on hope for the next 3 months. We won't, but we could, because hope is so crucial, especially with an election coming up or getting ready. You know, I'm really concerned because it looks like, here's my concern. The concern is whoever you're pulling for, whoever. And I'm not here to say who you're pulling for and trying to get you to pull for anybody. Here's the concern I have. Donald Trump is miles ahead of anybody, all right? And it's because people are tired of the politicians coming in and saying they're going to do something, and it's the same old, same old. You got Hillary Clinton, who's been in all these administrations. She's knee-deep in FBI, knee-deep in Benghazi, all this stuff. And she's talking about all the stuff she's going to do. She had all these chances to going to do it and didn't do it. And then you got Bernie Sanders, who wants to make us like Russia, you know, and so he literally will take our freedom way, way down. But what it is, if you got the Republicans are turning inward and eating up Donald Trump. So what's going on is instead of welcoming him and trying to help and move this thing forward, there's a big old fight going on. And then you got people that say that Donald Trump is not Republican enough. Then you got them saying, you know, that Cruz is not conservative enough. And if we just quit fighting and pull together, we can have something, period, no matter what party you pull for. But it is election season and everybody's going after each other. And I honestly do not see anybody. That's why Trump's going so high, is because he is giving hope. Okay, whether you like him or not, he gives hope.
Cruz said something. Conservatives band together.
Right.
Christians band together.
Wow. Well, I got two slogans for Cruz if he wants to make it. One is, you want to put a hurting on all this stuff around us? Cruising for a bruising. and if you want to see some good leadership, put it in cruise control. But they haven't asked me my opinion, and so okay. But again, whether you vote for who, I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. I'm here to just say it's a God-given freedom through our guys and women that have given their lives and through this government, and take advantage of it. Vote for who you want to, but take advantage of it. And read up on what you're voting for. Don't just vote because somebody looks good. You know, how about that? I mean, John Edwards was looking good. You know, pay $700 for a haircut. But then at the same time, his wife's got cancer, and, you know, he's not behind her. So again, you don't look for the haircut. You don't look who's got the suave when they walk. You look for the person that's got the best platform. All right, but I'm going to get off the politics. But talk about hope, hope, hope. All right, and this is all different from last week, except for the first little bit here. What an anchor is to a ship, hope is to the soul. They both stabilize. They hold you steady amidst the storms in life. Every Christian has been given a secure anchor in the person of Christ. And here it is, Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Now, when you talk about soul, let me just say something. When you're talking about soul, in the Bible, you got soul and you got spirit. Spirit is pneuma, breath. We have the breath of God in us. But man is made a living soul, different than the animals. The animals follow instinct. We are a living soul. And we're fashioned after God. That's why we are in the image of God, because we have a trichotomy just like he does. He's got the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We got a body, soul, and spirit. Plus, we have a soul. And the soul is, the word for soul is psyche, of course, and psyche is your ability to think. And so, again, if your mind is killing you, if you're being tossed to and fro, can't sleep at night, there's certain situations in your life that's really aggravating you. Remember, Jesus Christ is our hope. He is secure. He's the hope for our soul. So it's not just our part that communicates here on earth from God, but it's also how we communicate within ourselves. And so some people actually talk themselves out of victory. Have you ever talked yourself out of victory? I can't do this. There's no way. You know, some Christians live in Neverland. Listen to me carefully. I'm not talking about Peter Pan. It'll never work. I'll never be strong. I'll never be able to make a stand. I'll never be able to talk to anybody. I'll never be able to hold this on till the end. They live in Neverland. Never, 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 never. And because they live in Neverland, they talk themselves out of victory. So here it is. Here we're going to talk about this. It's going to be quick. Maybe. That's right. What is the difference between faith and hope? I've heard people ask me this question so many times. I've heard it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this question. What is the difference between faith and hope? Sometimes two words are so intertwined that it's hard to distinguish them. So these are two of the words, and that's faith and hope. Although they overlap, the Bible differentiates between them. One verse in the Bible, and you say, well, there's no difference in faith and hope. Oh, yeah. The Bible lists, there's a verse in the Bible, it's right here, that lists faith, hope, together with love. Exploring the ways these two are used in Scripture will shed light on both their uniqueness and similarity. Here it goes. These three remain faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. It didn't say faith, hope. Or hope, or haith, is faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. All right, so here we go. The difference between faith and hope. Hope is an assured promise where faith is acting out on that promise. All right, think about it. Hope tells me there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Faith sees that light and believes it's not the train. All right? Hope is an assured promise. If you're having family problems, job problems, whatever kind of problems you have, if you're having problems in your own mind trying to grasp your relationship with God, remember, hope is an assured promise. Take out the promises of God. That's what I gave to you Sunday morning. Promises of God. How many looked over those scriptures this week that you got Sunday morning? And it helps you because it's something you can hold on to. It's something you can anchor yourself to. I had people coming out, and they were going, can I get two or three of those? And I had one say, I know some people that really need this. Can I get some more? Sure. You know, and it's nothing but the Word. The Word. Wasn't like it was some big thing from some great author over here across, you know, Max Lucado or something. It was the Word. The author was the Holy Ghost. All right? And it's very powerful. So hope is an assured promise. Faith is acting out on that promise. Faith is hope put in action. Remember that. People might even ask you, or when you're, you know, people that you might get a chance to talk to, and every last one of us, you may not have a counseling degree, you may not have counseling training, but you got the counselor living in you if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will bring people to you that need to hear what you got to say. And so you may not have some kind of great big fancy, you know, I used to love it watching Mr. Miyagi commune with Daniel-san. Daniel-san did something stupid one day, and he said, wow, Mr. Miyagi, I'm sorry, that was stupid. And then here's Mr. Miyagi, and all his wisdom said, yes, Father say same thing to Miyagi when he do it. That was stupid. You know, no great big explanation. It was just, yeah, you're young and you thought you had it together. I was young and I thought I had it together, you know. And so again, that's just, hope is not merely a mental concept. If it's just mental, then I'm hoping that the if I was waiting for the UPS man, he normally comes at 4:00. Well, I'm hoping he's going to be here at 4 today. That's mental, all right? But if I'm going to the doctor at 4:00 and I'm looking for a good report, that's hope. Looking for the good report. And then when I even start saying, but you know what? I really believe it's going to be a good report. I'm not just looking for it. I believe it's going to be a good report. I told my wife this morning, I said, it's going to be fine. You watch, that baby is going to be fine. I told her last night, Summer is going to be fine. Me saying I have heard as a pastor and as a friend, that guy that came here at Christmas time from New Mexico, he's the one that had the hole in his heart when he was 16. And they had to wait for him to get a certain age, stop growing, so they could go in there and work on it. And I remember, you know, it scared me when they talked about what they were going to do. But, you know, after watching him, it didn't really scare me anymore because he was up and around like nothing, nobody's business. So last night when I said I've seen this many times and it's curable, that's hope. But then I said, but I know God's got this and he's already done the work. That's faith. Okay? So now, there's a difference in hope and faith. We're looking, the blessed hope is Jesus coming back. That's a blessed hope. He's not come back yet. But when he does come back, by faith, we're going to be lifted up with him in the clouds. So this is some awesome stuff. So now, having hope is we can be secure. I've done some bad typing here. We can be secure, or our security is, praise God. In order to be held secure, you got to believe, okay? But acting in faith is necessary so that our hope is not merely a mental concept, but rather a living hope, a guaranteed hope that becomes a reality we experience with an anchored life. I like this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And if you read, many times you hear part of it. But I'm going to read a little bit before it and a little bit after it. If you want to really get a scripture good and you want to get more of an understanding of a scripture, if you got one scripture you really like, try reading two or three scriptures above it and two or three scriptures below it. And that'll give you a better understanding. How many has heard, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Heard it a lot. And that's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. But let's read 21 and 24. 21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Or, there's one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. A grip on hope. The God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love could not have dried up. They are created new every morning. How great is thy faithfulness. And the greatest show of this was manna. Manna came every morning, like clockwork, it was there. The Lord is my portion, verse 24, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in him, or I'm sticking with God. I said over and over, he's all I've got left. Wow. Hope is a very powerful thing. Here's some differences in hope and faith. Here's where hope gets you to the, hope is getting you to the plate, and faith is swinging the bat. Think about it that way. Hope gets you to the plate. Faith swings the bat. All right, so here we go. That's my, let me write that down. That's pretty cool. Hold on. Yeah. Hope gets you to play. Faith swings the bat. Yeah, that sounds like a mighty army. Faith swings the bat. Okay, here we go. How many saw Mighty Army this morning? You affect the world with your smile. Don't let the world affect your smile. You affect the world with them. Grin. Make them think you're up to something. Okay. Our hope, number one, our hope in Jesus is based on the promise of God. God the Father promised that God the Son would be the Savior of the world. Thus, our hope is in who? Jesus, the Savior of the world. That's our hope. By faith, we receive Jesus into our hearts and lives. Therefore, faith is the means by which we actually, and again, I get typed so fast sometimes I'm not paying attention, by means that we actually are sturdy, okay? We're sturdy because we have faith in Jesus that he has come into our hearts and lives and we're now new creations. Number two, our hope in Jesus prompts us to step out in faith, taking God at his word. Our faith is motivated by our hope, and faith is the means by which we benefit from our hope. Again, remember, it's the clearest sports explanation I can think of, hope gets you to the plate, faith swings the bat. Our hope for sustaining physical life resides in believing in the benefit of food, accepting the fact that eating food is necessary to stay alive. Our faith is exercised when we actually eat the food. It's like if you have a headache, a bad headache, and you say, if I had some Tylenol, I'd be a whole lot better off, and I brought with you Tylenol. You said, if I could just have some Tylenol, there it is, hope. I bring it to you, and you hold it in the bottle. How good is that Tylenol going to help you? What if I just take the bottle and put it on top of my head? I have to reach in the bottle and pull out the Tylenol and put it in my mouth. That is faith. Hope, I needed it. Faith, now I've got it. Faith says you better take it, okay, if you want it to work. All right, where are we at now? Stay okay. And then our hope for sustaining spiritual life resides in Jesus, accepting the fact that Jesus is necessary to have eternal life. Our faith in his ability to give us eternal life is exercised as we receive Jesus into our lives. How many know you're saved? Do you always feel it? Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like a heathen? Yeah. Do you ever feel like a heathen? Do you ever say, Lord, I can't believe it's done that? Paul said, the things I want to do, I can't seem to do it. The things I don't want to do, I'm always doing. That's Paul, the greatest preacher ever lived. He's better than Billy Graham. Billy Graham, I've never heard Paul quote Billy Graham, but I've heard Billy Graham quote Paul quite often. Okay, so again, he said, what I want to do, I can't. What I don't want to do, I'm always doing. So he said, what's doing this? That sin principle in me. Again, I don't go by what I feel. I go by what I know. And I know by faith. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And Jesus speaks to me. He speaks to you. There's different ways he speaks to us at different times, but he still speaks to us. And we know when, or sometimes we don't even realize he's speaking to us. We get down the road later on and go, wow, that was God. So here we go. Our hope for staying alive is our confident assurance in the merit of food. But if we have no hope in the merit of food, especially when I used to cook it, I started watching the Food Channel and learned how to really cook. I can throw down now, but until I started watching the Food Network, when my wife died and I would cook, the boys would find some other place to be. Beth, bless her heart, she didn't have a choice. Yeah, and so I remember one time I say, okay, fellas, I've gone and I got a banquet, big old banquet dinner. I've put it in the oven. Now I've got homemade spaghetti for you. They said, Dad, it's not homemade. It's in a tin box. And so I'd always call them, so you want to come ask? And if I cook on the grill, they wanted it. But if it weren't on the grill, they didn't want it. And I remember one night Linda cooked her a famous Italian spaghetti. And Linda made a pot about that big. I said, you better make it that big. And so she made it that big, and D.C. was on the Pitt County line. I said, you want some spaghetti? He said, nah, Dad, I'm not really hungry. I said, Linda's making it. And I heard the phone go click. And almost as soon as he hung up, I heard him driving up in the yard. And here come Daniel, and I think Tamla, Nick didn't show up, but Tamla there, and Sam, and they had forks and spoons, and they sound like chainsaws. That real big thing went down like that because they had hope that she was cooking, not me. All right. That's right. So by faith, we eat food to stay alive, but by not eating, we will prematurely die. Did you know that? Okay. You know, when I started losing weight and I've lost 50 pounds, I'm working on the next 20. I want to lose 20 more, give or take 10. And this has been pretty hard because I found out you got to eat. If you don't eat for a period of time, or later you will. But when you don't eat, you don't lose weight because your metabolism slows down. So you got to eat. And one of the most important meals to eat of a day is breakfast, because that gets your metabolism going, which speeds up and helps you lose weight. So you got to eat, but you got to eat in the right way. Okay, the same way with God. You know, we'll go along and we won't eat. Right here at the bottom, right here. Sister, right here. Right here. The last one on hope. Okay. You got to eat. You got to talk to God. Number the last one, our hope for eternal life is Jesus. But if we refuse to have hope in Him, we will die and spend eternity separated from Him. Man, placing our faith in Christ is the means by which we take hold of our hope in Him and receive all the benefits of having Christ, including living throughout eternity with Him. Now, again, I know this is more like a theological class today, and I didn't want it to be a theological class. I wanted it to be something that you can take and use. Now, Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah's in prison. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah 33, the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." In other words, this is an awesome promise. In the midst of a broken world, when everything is falling all to pieces, when you cannot trust the government, you cannot trust the Democrats or the Republicans, because honestly, all of them dropped the ball on a lot of things. There's a new movie coming out called, what's it called, about Benghazi? 13 Hours. And again, somebody said, well, that's just political. Really? Isn't the whole thing political? But you know what? They don't like it because it shows that these guys could have been there and saved them. We could have really done something to really help, but they were trying to let us know there's no problem. So if we ignore it because we say there's no problem and we ignore it, then it all go away. It didn't. All right, so we can't ignore it. We got problems in this world. But he says, here's our hope. Call unto me. He was in prison. Call unto me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you know not. First, call unto me. Prayer is communicating with our Creator. I cannot call Washington, D.C. tonight and say, can I speak to Mr. President? I can't even call Washington. I can't even call Raleigh and ask, can I speak to our governor? I can't even call the hospital and ask to speak to the president of the hospital. But I can call and speak to the Creator of the world. Wow. Wow. Talk about going over somebody's head. The Creator of the world, and I can talk to Him anytime. We think we're bothering God. We're not bothering God. When we can bring God our problems will bother us less. When you think you're bothering God, but you're not, your problems will bother you less because you're talking to God. And we know that God will work out everything for our good. And He says, "I will answer you. Not only can you talk to me, I will answer you." I remember Linda and I were trying to help get a bill started to give preachers the freedom to preach whatever they felt led to preach. And so we go talk to can't think of his name now, our congressman, Walter B. Jones. We go talk to Walter B. Jones. Very impressive man. We prayed before we started talking, and very impressive. And when we got through, we prayed. And when he sees me, he stops me and talks to me. And I remember he used to come in the fountain all the time. But he told us, he said, this is a good thing. Preachers need to be able to say what they feel led to say without fear or concern that the law's going to come down on them. But then he told us, he said, this is good. And we had it written up nice and neat. And he turned around and said, you know, this is cool, but we're already doing something like this. Well, Well, it was kind of shady gray compared to what we had, which is black and white. This was kind of shady gray, what he was talking about. And he sent us some stuff back about a year later and said they're working on the shady gray. Okay. Again, I know his hands are tied, and I'm not cutting him. I'm not doing anything to cut him. But I'm saying the government as a whole, still, you know, they're more concerned with people coming in this country having their rights than especially the Christians having rights. Okay, so now, again, you call me, I will answer you. God, whenever I talk to him, I'm expecting an answer. I sent out a mighty army one day that said, when you pray, God always answers. Yes, no. He answers three ways. Yes, no, or I got four ways. Yes, no, wait, or I've got something better in mind. All right? And then great and unsearchable things. When you take that Bible out, that Bible is so full of hope. That's why that little piece of paper on Sunday was so powerful. And there was people that were just clinging to it and wanting more of them to give to their friends. The people I wouldn't have thought that they would have been the ones to grab it like they did, but they saw it as hope, and it was just five scriptures. All right, so now Christ has set us on his course. First, he sets us on his course to save us. Then after he saves us, he wants to conform us into his image, his character. So we have an assurance of hope, and having assurance of hope is necessary before you can act in faith. Then you act in faith because of your hope. Ultimately, the Bible says that your hope is the catalyst that produces your faith. How many has ever used, I can't think of the name of the glue now, but it's got the catalyst and the, all right, fellas, huh? Yeah, epoxy. Yeah. I remember one time, Mr. Fountain, whenever there was a problem, he'd call me out there, and sometimes he would really be having a hard time because the problems were very expensive. And somebody had built a 47 Lightning. You know why they call it a 47 Lightning? Because it's 47 foot long. Now, can you imagine a 47 foot boat that's going to be minimum $300,000 up to $750,000? And somebody doesn't put the catalyst. In the fiberglass. And so we got a big old jelly boat. And we go and look at it and talk about upset. I'm just glad I didn't do it. So that great old big boat without the catalyst, I wouldn't have taken it. I wouldn't have rode in it to do my homework setting it here, much less take it out on the water. The same way. Your hope, your hope is the catalyst that produces your faith. We have heard of your faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about the word of truth, the gospel. So again, remember this, and that's why I'm doing hope at the very first of the year. People, how many notice sometimes people kind of say, have you ever had a time when somebody just kind of flocked around you? Not because they had to, but they just kind of flocked around you sometimes. Not all the time, but there's times. Usually what I found out when somebody's flocking around you is because either they're looking for somebody to blame. Or they sense hope. They sense hope. So the next time you find yourself being surrounded by people, they come to you. Remember this. They're sensing hope. Study. Learn about what God says about hope. Get your Bible out. Look up all the verses on hope. And see what God says about hope and about faith, because people are coming to you. Remember, there's times you can't have faith without hope. I can swing the bat all I want to. If I'm not at the plate, hope gets me to the plate, faith swings the bat. Any questions, any ideas, any other things you can think of to do with hope? Exactly. You'd be in a mess. We would be in a mess. Whoa. The very first man that was going to swing to England, I think it was the English Channel, the very first one to swim the English Channel, it was a woman. She was going to swim the English Channel. And she was fighting the cold. It was cold. She was being stung by jellyfish, all kinds of stuff. And she just, it was so, the fog came in. And when the fog came in, she couldn't see the shoreline. And she was so tired, she quit and said, I can't go any further. I think she was 100 yards from making it. But she lost her hope because she couldn't see the shoreline. One of my favorite scenes of any movie is facing the giants when he puts that guy on his back, does the death crawl, and covers his eyes up, and just with encouragement tells him, you can make it. And he thought he was going 20 yards. He'd gone 100 yards. Yeah, so hope. Encouragement and hope are interchangeable. You can't have one without the other. Anybody else can give me something that something about hope that's been in your life that even some examples of hope. Anybody got any examples of hope? When you thought you were going to let go, or you thought that it was going to be too far gone, and then hope rose up within you and it sparked your faith, and here it goes. Yes, Beth has been looking for a job now for several weeks, and yeah, well, you've really intensified it in the last week or so. And she called. Of course, she had somebody to tell her who to call and how to do it, and so she did. And then they called. That person got a call back from the other person, said that Bethany, it was like Bethany's going to get that job. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 So she may have her a job at Golden Corral. So she gets a job at Golden Corral. Y'all go in there and make sure you go to her table and say, yes, say we want a cheerful one over there. Giggles. Giggles. Okay. So now I can think about you know what? I'll give you a story about Bethany. You don't probably even know this story because you were only four. You don't remember it. You don't remember you weren't there. Bethany at 4 years old had already had six homes. And the next step was an orphanage. And they were trying desperately to find something for her. And so they asked us, some of the people asked us, we consider taking her. I went to all of her court cases but one from the time she was two to five. I went to every court case but one, the initial one. And so I'd been there and I testified against the people that had hurt her and testified back and forth. I was like an unofficial guardian at litem for. And so they told us, you need to go to social services. We think y'all are a great fit. Get her. So we go up to the social services and the social worker, once we went up to talk to the social worker, she was like on the third floor and it was in, Smithfield, North Carolina. She's talking to us. Then we go in, we sit and talk to her. We start talking to her about Bethany and she said, you know, I don't think this is going to work. I'm not sure. Blah, 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 blah. And we walked out, and Beverly was in tears. She said, but they said they wanted us to have her. And now the social services are saying no, and they're not even going to consider it. And I said, well, why would they even do that if they're not going to, you know, but social services weren't the one that was talking about it. It was the law, okay, and the other people. And so we're walking. We walk out, and I put my arm around her, and she was crying. And I said, listen, she said, that little girl needs a home. That little girl needs to know somebody loves her. It's got to stop, all these houses and stuff. I mean, when we went and took her out, we hadn't even taken her out to eat yet. All right, so as we're walking to the car, I looked up and I said, God, you got this. And you got, and her name was Melissa at the time. You got Melissa, and you got this, and you got our hearts. Everything's going to be fine. And I grabbed Beverly, and I grabbed her and said, it's going to be okay. We got in the car, and, of course, cell phones weren't all that big at the time. We get in the house, and as soon as we get in the house, the phone rings. I pick up the phone, and it's that social worker. And she said, you know something? She said, I noticed y'all coming in today. And she said, they're not here for help. She said, they're different. She says, they're here to help somebody. And she said, when you got up and walked out, the Holy Spirit talked to me. She was a Christian. The Holy Spirit talked to me. And said that y'all were the ones. And she said, if you'll come back, we'll set this thing up. I mean, just like, weren't us, it was God. Just like that. And so, of course, they set us up. And we went in there. And then here it goes. They said, now, Mr. Linton, I know that you get along with kids great. I know you have a bunch of kids at church. And you got to, yes. Said, but she doesn't have anything to do with any men at all. And her foster father cannot even get close to her, and said her foster mother can barely do anything with her because she's so afraid of people. Says, so when you come in, when she doesn't want to have anything to do with you, don't be offended. I said, okay. And as soon as we walked into the foster house, she looked around the corner and they said, Melissa, look at, there's Mr. and Mrs. Linton. They want to meet you. And Bethany jumps up and says, my big daddy. And she ran full speed and grabbed me. And I didn't know what to say. I looked around and Beverly was crying. The social worker was crying. The foster mother was crying. Bethany was crying. I got tears. And I'm going, what is going on here? You know, what's going on? Let me tell you. Hope came in the middle of absolute, I don't think it's going to work, forget it, no. From that time on, we still had to go through a process, a long process. It took about 6 months, but it was a done deal. Absolute done deal. And so again, hope gets you to the plate, faith swings the bat. Amen. Everybody got anything? Anything, or we can close one up now. Listen, we'll have to do it next week. I'm going to tell how many books y'all get, and I'm going to go ahead and start deducting it. Matter of fact, you get enough books, we'll announce Tuesday night, no service. Because we got rid of 500 books. That's right. All right, all hearts and minds clear. For some reason, it seemed like it was more interesting when we did the bad tongue and did suicide and all that. This doesn't seem to have the same spunk. Although this is what you have to have. This is the base for all the other. This is the base. This is the base. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, speaking of that, you know, a few months ago, I was trying to put up something in my office. I had the anchor stuck between my fingers. I'm doing like that. I'm trying to hurry up and get out of there because we're going to go see. I was going to go spend time with, I can't think of his name. Who's the rabbi? Greg Sabbath. He got tickled because I took him out Sunday to eat barbecue. I said, Greg, I know you're a Jew, but there's a Smithfield chicken and barbecue right there. And there's a steakhouse over here. And we get Chinese. He said, I want the barbecue. So we go to the barbecue place, and I said, "Did y'all?" When the guy's waiting on us, I said, "Did you know this is National Rabbi Day?" And the guy says, well, we don't differentiate in religions. But I'm trying to put this thing up, and I shoot. I'm going full speed with this drill, and it goes through my finger and hits right to the bone. So for 3 or 4 weeks, I couldn't play the bass with that. My main bass finger couldn't play it. I was doing like this. About time that healed, I got this one caught in the multi-tool. 4 stitches. And then I can't anchor to play the bass. And so I was in the gym last night, and I think I took the stitches out, and there's a stitch left in there inside. I got to wait for it to come up to the top so I can get it out. It hurts. And so I got Dr. Young to look at it. I said, what do you think, Dr. Young? He said, I think I quit using tools. Because talking about this hand and this hand. And he said, I said, what do you think? He said, just quit using tools, okay? And stop. Let's pray. He didn't give me any hope last night. He just said, when it finally works its way up, come over there and I'll cut it open and pull it out. I said, all right. Father, I love you, Lord. It's an honor to be called your child. And it's an honor to be able to serve you, Lord, in this crazy mixed up world. And Father, in a world that honestly is crying for hope and doesn't see it, I ask you right now, Lord, to help us be dealers of hope, to reach out to other people and let them see just what you've got. And we thank you for it, Lord, and help build our hope up constantly within us so that we can shine. We can shine and draw people to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. 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 God's awesome.
All the time.
All the time.